Listen, when you get a good night of sleep, you know you're going to have energy. When that happens, you feel good. You feel awesome. That's why you need to be sleeping on a Casper mattress. It helps you get a great night of rest. You see, the Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams to give you a great night of sleep. You spend one-third of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. Its breathable design lets you sleep cool, and this is something I didn't know. It also regulates your body temperature throughout the night. And let me tell you, there are lots of people raving about the Casper mattress. More than 20,000 others love their Casper mattress, giving it an average rating of 4.8. You cannot argue with results like that. And here's yet another reason. The price will not keep you up at night. You can also order sheets, pillows, and that will give you the complete Casper experience. Why is it so affordable? Well, Casper cuts out the middleman and delivers it straight to you. You can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. Right now, for my listeners, you can get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/jungle. Once again, casper.com/jungle. Use the promo code jungle at checkout. Terms and conditions do apply. Once again, casper.com/jungle, promo code jungle.
And we are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. You can give me a call this segment. Sam Amick's going to be coming on in about 15 minutes, 800-636-8686. You know, I'm hearing the updates. How many players are the Lakers going to sign this year? How many? Are they going to have like 50 guys on their team or what? Like all the reports, hey, the Lakers are going to talk to this guy, that guy, this guy, that guy. How many roster spots do they have? I mean, it's unbelievable. Tyreek Evans also meeting with Oklahoma City. I mean, everyone wants to play with LeBron. Or only a few players want to play with LeBron. I would want to play with LeBron if I'm an NBA player and I'm not a superstar, because I know that I'm probably going pretty far in the playoffs. Why would you not want to play with the game's greatest player? Right? I mean, I sure would. All right, Clones. And I want to hear from some folks in the Cleveland area. All right? Northeast Ohio. You've been through this before, but at least this time, you have a championship. You had a parade. Do you know how many people did not live long enough to see a parade in downtown Cleveland? Go ask Cubs fans. Go ask Red Sox fans, okay? Like, think about the generation that went through a whole life and did not get a chance to experience what you just did 2 years ago in Cleveland. Like, no one can ever take that away from you. Nobody's going to – you have a championship. And again, you know, I lived through as a college student, the Brian Sipe interception and Sam Ritigliano, and then later the drive, and then the Ernest Biner fumble. I get your pain in Cleveland. But to me, this is like, okay, you know what? Hey, good luck, LeBron. You won us a championship. All right, let's get to some phone calls. Josh in Pennsylvania. Josh, you're on the Jim Rome Show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, man, I think this is a good move for LeBron, man. I'm thinking about it. I'm hearing reports that they looking at Tyreek Evans. They signed Lance Stephenson, JaVale McGee, and I'm looking at their team. I'm saying, why you don't even need to trade all them those trade. Let Kawhi. Wait for that Kawhi. I wouldn't rush for that trade for Kawhi there, because you look at your team now. You're deeper. You're younger. You're athletic. And you give LeBron wing players that they have right now, LeBron's gonna be fresher. You're gonna be able to compete for in the Western Conference because you got LeBron. But if he can bring these young guys up, I think it'd be great for him. I wouldn't trade those young guys. I would keep them, develop them.
Hey, thanks for the call, man. I'll tell you this: if I know, or at least you never know, because the Lakers thought they were gonna have Paul George. If I really thought that I could get Kawhi Leonard next year, and I would have the money, which is apparently what they're doing with all these one-year deals, I'm with you. I would wait till next year. Now, the only downside to that is LeBron's a year older, and he's 33 now. So when you look at this from LeBron James' perspective, is there anyone out there that does not think this is a good move for LeBron? And the reason why I'm throwing that out is if he stays in Cleveland, they're probably going back to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they're probably going to the NBA Finals. Now in L.A., the way the team is constructed, they're not, barring injury, not going to win the West. And so if we, you know, in our society, we always want to judge on just championships. I don't. I think that's crazy. LeBron James is one of the greatest players of all time, period. If you don't want to put him number one, fine. Don't put him number one. But he's one of the greatest players of all time. From a business perspective, we hear about, you know, the Lakers obviously are a global brand. So all of the money that comes with being in that market and everything else. I mean, look at Magic Johnson. Don't you think LeBron James wants to follow in his footsteps from a business perspective? Absolutely. All right, let's get to Matt joining us in Los Angeles. Matt, you're on the Jim Rome Show. Go ahead.
Napes with the Papes, voice of the Stat Kings. Great stuff, man, with Marv Biter Cheeks Albert. And the Count! By the way, I've been known to some as a green sack king myself, but that's another story for another time, even when I don't stay at a Holiday Inn. But, hey, Grant, peace to Cleveland, Neil, John in C-Town, all my Cleveland clones that I got much love for, but sorry, man, we had to take them. The king is in L.A. Hey, man, you should see it, Napes. He was at, like, Good Day L.A., had, like, an L.A. banner draped all over it. Not even in the Shaq and Kobe. Maybe, like, parade days they would have stuff like this. I mean, dude's donning the purple and gold, speaking to the billboards all over L.A. I guess you can spell purple and gold with no PG-13. Good luck, Paul. But the Legion of Lakers fans got exactly what we wanted, man. Another superstar, a top 10 all-time player. And now I got one question, NBA, and especially Golden State. What you going to do when we come, man? It might not be this year, but we're coming, nipping at the heels. Lakers, baby. Outro.
All right, man. Matt in L.A., chiming in. Let's get to Michigan and Craig. Craig, you're in the jungle. Go ahead, Craig.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for giving me a chance to have a conversation with you. You know, it would be a trick just to get that team into the playoffs. Last year in the East, it took 43 wins for the Wizards to get in at the eight spot. It took 47 wins for the Timberwolves to get in the eight spot in the West. And teams like Denver that only won 46 games didn't make it. So, I mean, unless people think L.A. supporting cast is that much better than Cleveland, and even if it is, they're in a tougher conference. But unless they think that, it would be a trick for him to even get this team into the playoffs. And let's not forget, he turns 34 in December. Now, he might have two, three, maybe even four more good seasons. But, I mean, it's going to be very tough for him to ever reach the finals again, man. I mean, being realistic.
Well, he won 37. The Lakers won 37 games a year ago. So by your math, if they got to win 10 more, I think LeBron's worth 10 wins. I get what you're saying. It's not a automatic, although when you look at LeBron James' resume and what he's done ever since he came into the league, I can't imagine the Lakers not making the playoffs. But let's just say that you're right and they missed the playoffs. That would be... I can't even imagine the conversation if that were to occur. I can't see that happening. I really can't. I like Denver, and Jokic is a year older, and if they are able to continue, Minnesota, they're right there as a team that – I mean, look at the West. Every single game meant something last year. Look at the battle for three last year. I mean, you could have had all of the teams, including Minnesota – that could have been the third seed in the final week of the season. It was so close. You cannot be taking games off this year in the West, because the one thing we learned, Craig, one game could really make the difference. And all you have to do is ask the Denver Nuggets. They had a really good year. That leads me to this one. All right, and thanks for the call. People talk about reseeding 1 through 16. I'm telling you, you can't reseed 1 through 16. In other words, you can't take the 16 best teams and have that as your NBA tournament. Because of the travel. And I don't want to hear about chartered planes and all of that. Chartered planes are nice, but you can't do anything about the time difference. I said this, and I'm going to say it before. I'm going to say it again. Let's say in the first round, you had a matchup of Miami and Portland. And while Miami was playing Portland, the Lakers were playing Phoenix. And then in round two, let's say Portland wins. And as it turns out, they're matched up against Toronto. And the Lakers win their first round series against Phoenix, and they next go and play Utah. You know, the travel would be so out of whack, and it would be so unfair. This is what I think the NBA should do, and I think it would be real simple. When you get down to your four teams, the two in the East and the two in the West, reseed them. Have the team with the best record, play the team with the fourth best record, two plays three. Now that is fine. And then you are pretty much guaranteed to get the top two teams playing in the NBA Finals. I mean, look at this year. Now, I don't have a crystal ball, but I still think that even without Chris Paul, the Houston Rockets would have won, and I still think that you would have had a Houston Golden State Finals. Now, again, the Chris Paul injury factors into it, but here's the point I'm trying to make. During the year, the two best teams in basketball, Golden State and Houston, wouldn't it have been great to see the two best teams play in the NBA Finals instead of the boring four games with the exception of game one that we witnessed? I mean, I don't know about you, but reseed the final four teams. You are going to get the top two teams playing in the NBA Finals every year, and hopefully we don't have to go through what we went through last year. That's something the NBA could easily do. But people say, put the best 16 teams in. Travel schedule will not allow that. It's too crazy. I just don't think you can do it. And I know that there are a lot of people that disagree with me, but I just gave you a scenario. And I don't want to hear about, you get on your chartered airplane. I get that. It's nice. I fly on them all the time with the Kings. You cannot do anything about the time change going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. There is no science to make that, it's okay. There is such a thing as jet lag. I don't care if you're flying, in a middle seat in coach or you're in a first-class lounger. All right, jet lag is jet lag, and it does have an effect. And for that reason, I don't think you can have the top 16 teams in basketball play in the playoffs. Take the final four, reseed them, and then you are good to go. All right, when we come back, we are going to have Sam Amick on. We're going to talk all about free agency. Sam from USA Today. Look forward to that. That's coming up next right here on the Jim Rome Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Hey, want to let everyone know, tonight at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, follow the inspirational stories of how the PGA Tour and its big-time players give back in a big way, including Bubba Watson's donation of his prize winnings to the same hospital where he was born, and Ricky Fowler's efforts to rebuild homes destroyed in Hurricane Harvey. It's the PGA Tour 2018 for the good of the game, presented by Axenson on CBS Sports Network. All right. Sam Amick, USA Today. Always great to have him in the jungle. Sam, it's Grant Napier. For someone like yourself whose job it is to stay up and try to be the first or among the first to report all of these things, what's your life been like the last 36 to 48 hours?
Grant, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's been wild. I mean, I enjoy this time of year because there are always fireworks, whether or not they're on 4th of July. It kind of varies a little bit. But, I was just talking to Adam off the air, your producer, about the fact that the idea of LeBron in L.A., and as you know, I'm up the coast. We're up in the Sacramento area. But even having LeBron on the West Coast and LeBron in California – it's got my head spinning a little bit, the idea of him in that purple and gold jersey, and it's going to be wild. And I end up being Western Conference heavy in my coverage because of the nature of where I live, and I'm already sitting there going, man, four times a year, Lakers-Warriors, Lakers-Rockets. I mean, it's going to be incredible on that side of the league.
Is there any downside from the NBA's perspective of LeBron James going to the Lakers? Is this good or bad for the league?
I mean, I hope that the balance, somehow kind of, goes back the other direction over the course of the next couple of years. Who knows if there's a ripple effect in free agency next year, if any of the guys who are up, are compelled to go out east and kind of dominate on that side. I'm sure you saw on Twitter last night and this morning, I think Skip Bayless had tweeted that he thought Joel Embiid was now the best player in the east, and then Giannis Antetokounmpo had retweeted that and said, thanks, Skip. You gave me all the motivation I need. So it's kind of like Giannis and Joel's conference now, and those guys are incredible. But there's maybe a downside. I mean, I'm very curious to see how the playoff picture looks by the time we get to mid-April, because we obviously have no clue not only who's going to be on the Lakers with LeBron, but how they're going to mesh, how they're going to be. And so, the Western playoff picture and how loaded it is, with Paul George being back in OKC, Chris Paul in Houston, compared to the East. I mean, once you get past Philly and Boston, a ton of question marks with Toronto, you know, it's just certainly not the same level.
Sam Amick, USA Today, joining us here on the Jim Rome Show. What is your read on Kawhi Leonard and what's going on in San Antonio?
Interesting. You know, it's combination of a staring contest and, you know, but also pressure rising, desperation rising, I think, on the part of the Spurs. You know, I don't know if it's accurate that, you know, Stephen A. had said that he heard that Kawhi would even think about not playing next season if he didn't get out. And that seems just completely unfathomable to me. But the Lakers situation, I was told as of midday yesterday, had not picked up any steam. I was told this morning that the Philly situation has not picked up any steam. So Greg Popovich is one of a kind, not only as a coach, but as a person, as a negotiator. And I think he and R.C. Buford are, you know, they're trying to play chess right now and trying to make sure that if they're going to turn a new page and not have Kawhi, that they are in a good spot after that.
Other free agents that are available, a name we keep on hearing about is DeMarcus Cousins and the rumored interest in the Lakers, but they don't have any money now. So where do you see his future?
I'm curious. I mean, the Pelicans landing spot is certainly still there for him. Not the kind of contract conceivably that I think he would want. He's got to look in the mirror and realize that he's coming off about as bad an injury as you can have, period. But even more so, I think, for a big man, really no history of a big man having an Achilles tear and getting back to the same level. So, you know, it's interesting. The Anthony Davis connection is strong. They have a very good relationship. I think that would probably be good for him to go back, but I definitely have been told by, you know, anybody who knows kind of where his head is at, that he is very, very, very interested in partnering with LeBron. Admires him, respects him. LeBron has shared some of those sentiments in the past, called him the best big man in our game, I think last year in January. So that's where the Lakers are at a spot where, you know, they don't need to get a Paul George necessarily, or maybe even a Kawhi Leonard, but they need something. Because, you know, I don't think LeBron wants to go out there and win 42 games and maybe miss out on the playoffs. So I'm curious to see what happens there.
Yeah, you know, you talk about the Lakers roster, and we hear, I believe Woj was the first one, and correct me if I'm wrong, if it was somebody else, that they're also going to talk with Tyreke Evans, and we know that Oklahoma City is as well. And so we're talking about, you know, veterans that would go and sign for minimum deals. No way DeMarcus Cousins is going to do that, right? So, I mean, we talk about how DeMarcus wants to play with LeBron, and I get that. I mean, I don't know who wouldn't, and you've just mentioned what LeBron said about Cuz a half a year ago. How on earth could they possibly make that happen? I mean, they don't have the resource to do that, do they?
They don't, and I hopefully am not misspeaking here. The last info, and I have not crunched all the numbers myself. I think I saw somebody say that after, you know, the agreement with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Lance Stephenson, JaVale McGee, that they were in the $10 million territory, and that's about half, if not less, you know, as much as DeMarcus was expecting to make on the open market. So, yeah, I agree. It's just a question of if you're him and you're counseling him, is there an argument to be made that, you know, that LeBron is the rising tide that raises all ships? We've seen him get guys paid of a far lesser talent like Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith. And so do you go prove to the world that you're okay health-wise, go win in a way that you have not been able to in the past? I mean, that's the toughest part of DeMarcus's season last year, is that, you know, they finally pierce through, get to the playoffs, make some noise, and he's not part of it. You know, and then redo free agency a year from now. But that is such a divide between what he expected to make and what he could make. I still have a hard time seeing it. It probably handicap in New Orleans. Because other than that, like you said, Grant, it's going to be the guys who are coming in taking a big time pay cut. Jamal Crawford wants to play for the Lakers in a bad way. It's another name.
Sure.
I think, like you said, Chris Haynes of ESPN was the one who had reported on Tyreke and Oklahoma City and the Lakers. But DeMarcus is in a different camp. I mean, he was a top four free agent coming into the summer.
When you look at Paul George, because 12 months ago, Sam, everyone thought, well, gee, he's going to Oklahoma City on a one-year rental. He's going to be in L.A. next year. And, gee, how stupid is that for Oklahoma City? Where do you think things changed as it relates to Paul George and buying into staying in Oklahoma City for the next several years?
I'm going to say I've got a pretty funny vantage point on this one, Grant, because I was there. And it was the day that they traded for Melo. And the irony here is that he was not a good fit He's overpaid. He's not productive. They, you know, chances are they're going to part ways with him this summer and stretch out his contract. But when, you know, when they showed the Thunder did, Sam Presti, their GM, the willingness to roll the dice and do the trade to get Paul to begin with. And then they had a very orchestrated, calculated kind of year-long recruitment process from the day that he stepped foot in Oklahoma City. Then when they traded for Melo, and Paul has talked about this, it sent a message to him that, you know, you don't have to make all the right moves, but that showed a level of boldness, a level of, you know, willingness to really try to compete that stuck with him. And I went and did a big thing with him in training camp, went to his house, got a sense of, you know, how he was fitting in so far in Oklahoma City. And I remember, like, his quote at that time was, the season hasn't even started yet, and these guys are checking all the right boxes. I could see this being a place that I could call home for years. And you're sitting there going, wait, Paul, it's late September. Like, you have no idea how this is going to go. But all the way through, he kept saying good things. And I think his connection with Russell Westbrook was huge, too. I don't think Russ would ever admit to it, but people around him say he did learn the hard way about the superstar dynamic, and the Kevin Durant experience taught him a few things about how he might need to change his stripes a little bit when it comes to the vibe and the dynamic. I think he matured. I think he played a big part in keeping Paul in town.
Sam, I had a conversation with Marv Albert last hour, and he made an interesting point. He said that, you know, free agency has gotten to a point in the NBA where you could actually say there's more interest in what's going on now than in big chunks of the regular season. And the point is, boy, the NBA must be loving this. I mean, they're front page news all over North America. Everyone is talking about NBA free agency. I mean, there's baseball going on. You wouldn't know. I mean, it's incredible to me, the attention that is garnered by NBA free agency. It's a hot commodity. There's no doubt about it.
100%. I mean, I feel like our platform's a decent little litmus test in that regard, Grant, because USA Today is obviously well beyond sports. It's a mainstream platform.
Yep.
And if you looked at the homepage on USA Today yesterday, and I'm not talking the sports front, this is the homepage. It was the news story on LeBron going to the Lakers was sitting there in the main centerpiece position for hours upon hours. Probably five or six LeBron stories on the rail, you know, and it's like, oh, by the way, you know, there's world affairs and hunger and all these real things to get into as well. I mean, it was front and center. And, it, you know, even from the media standpoint, we kind of joke that has the time come when you need to be having, you know, NBA reporters who cover the season and then others who just focus on the off season, because we get to the finish line of the finals and it's been a long haul and you're trying to get your wind back. And then you look up, and it's the most relevant time of year right in front of you.
Sam Amick, USA Today. If the Lakers roster stayed the way it is currently, which it probably won't, but just for sake of conversation, right now, based on the personnel on that team, where would you stack them in the West? Because it would be like, Golden State and Houston would still be 1-2, right?
Oh, yeah. And
sure.
I'm bullish on, you know, who knows if this will be foolhardy in the end, but I'm bullish on OKC again, too. I was last year. I think their chemistry combined with, you know, getting better combined with Andre Robertson coming back.
Yep.
The Spurs, obviously a total wild card. We don't know what that's going to look like. I mean, I think they're in the bottom four. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I think Lonzo's going to get better. Brandon Ingram's going to get better. We don't know. Like you said, currently constructed. Kyle Kuzma is a big-time ball player. And, you know, in some of these pieces, you know, kind of eccentric as they might be, Lance Stephenson, JaVale McGee, I think they're actually going to work. So, you know, they're in the bottom four. I think they're a playoff team for sure. LeBron's going to find a way to get this team into the playoffs. But I need to see, you know, what they look like before I even think about them as making any noise. I mean, we cannot forget and get so caught up in this LeBron hype. Just, I'm sorry, you know, the Warriors had no problem beating his Cavs, you know, the last 2 years. And the Rockets almost took out the Warriors. And again, the Thunder had reasons for why their season didn't work, but they're supremely talented. I mean, there are some absolute juggernaut teams. And by the way, be really remiss to not say Utah. Utah is going to come with a
Absolutely.
Chip on his shoulder. Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, they're hearing all of this noise. Everybody's forgot about Utah, and they were, you know, making major progress in the playoffs. So the Lakers are going to have an uphill battle, I think.
Something else I wanted to ask you about, because we always talk about and we hear about the NBA taking the best 16 teams out of 30 and just making that your playoff tournament. I don't think it will work because of the travel. And I know chartered airplanes, but if you had a scenario where maybe a Portland played Miami while the Lakers are maybe playing Phoenix, and then Portland wins and they end up playing Toronto, where the Lakers end up winning and they end up playing, you know, a team like Utah, I just think the balance could be real crazy. I think it could be a real disadvantage. Here's my idea, Sam. Tell me if you think the NBA would look into this and what you think about it. When you get to the conference finals, take the four teams and have the team with the best record play the team with the fourth best record. Two plays three, which will give you a opportunity to have the two best teams in the NBA playing for the NBA championship.
I like it. I mean, I like it. And I think the point you're making is it's going to probably have to be something creative, something somewhat outside the box, and not as drastic or simplistic as just going to the top 16. Because, you know, Adam Silver, on the one hand, is a guy who thinks outside the box, who's willing to change. He's already thinking about moving the draft and free agency and maybe swapping those. And so he is not a, you know, old guard, stick to the tradition type of guy. But he has got major concerns about the travel. That is a big thing for him. And the reason is because he has a great sense of his relationship with the players, and he's very protective of anything that would negatively impact the player experience. And I think that is the driving force behind his pushback on the travel, is because he has Chris Paul and the players union and Michelle Roberts in his ear saying, Adam, you know, we don't really want to do Portland to Miami. So, you know, that sounds like a good idea. Maybe something like that could get enough traction to get pushed through. You know, I think, again, top 16 is still going to be a stretch.
Final thing for you. Houston losing Trevor Ariza to Phoenix, how much do you think that affects them?
I think it's big. I think it's really big. I mean, Trevor obviously went out in a terrible way with the Rockets in Game 7 of the Conference Finals. I think he was 0 for 11 and couldn't hit a shot. And I see some of the narratives and the talking points on Twitter about him, and it's just like it's incredible how people have recency bias, or that, you know, okay, great, he had a bad game. This dude has been part of that Rockets fabric as a two-way player, as a fantastic locker room guy. I'm surprised also because he's extremely tight with Chris Paul, and he's a major reason that Chris came to town. And, you know, I hesitate a little bit to say this because I don't know all the details, but I'm just being honest. Like, when I saw Trevor leave and then I saw Chris getting four for $160 million, you're kind of thinking to yourself, like, I thought about it in the context of Kevin Durant taking a few dollars less to hold on to Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala last summer. You know, I'm curious, at minimum, if there's any way that Chris could have done something to keep Trevor around. I mean, I think that's a big blow. The Rockets have not done anything to close the gap between them and the Warriors, if there was even a gap. They still haven't locked up. They got Clint Capella is a restricted free agent. They're going to match any offer that comes his way, but, you know, they haven't gotten better yet.
Sam, great stuff. I don't know if I'll be seeing you tonight, but why not, right? Basketball games to start Summer League. If not, I know I'll see you in Vegas.
Yeah, I'll be out there, all Grant. Right. I'm going to go check it out. Yep. Sounds good, man. Appreciate
Sounds good.
You.
Hey, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it, Sam. That's Sam Amick, USA Today, trying to get to as many things as we can via NBA free agency. Open segment when we come back, so get on at 800-636-8686. Now the latest sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brett Napier on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, clones, if you want maximum performance from your car, you could use an Edge, Castrol Edge. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium technology is three times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown, as tested in the Kurt Orban test in the 5W30 Visgrade. It helps fight friction and delivers outstanding level of performance. Castrol Edge, the titanium strong motor oil. Clones, 800-636-8686, the number. Let's check in with J.C. calling from Melbourne, Florida. What's up, J.C.?
Hey, Grant, it's great to talk to you. I'm a loyal Jim Rome listener, and when you come on, I really enjoy you know, hearing your takes. I just want to mention a few things. David Steele, the Magic announcer, has become a great mentor to me. I'm a sports announcer here locally in Florida, so I just want to mention that. Dave's a great guy. Yep. I'm sure you've gotten to know him.
Great guy. Love him. Great guy. Can't say enough good things about him, and he does a great job, too. Big fan of his.
Yeah. Now, as far as Marv Albert, I mean, I grew up in Dobbs Ferry, New York, Westchester County, New York, late 60s, early 70s. And every Tuesday and Saturday when the Knicks were at home, I'd be listening to Marv. When he did the Rangers every Wednesday and Sunday, listening to Marv, it was like a ritual growing up. I had to get my homework done, but I had to listen to Marv. And I'm a sports announcer here at Florida Tech. I do a lot of Division II games. And Marv was definitely a great influence on me. And later on in life, I got to meet him. And just a class guy. I told him I read his book three times, and he looked at me and he said, three times. And I practically melted. So,
well, J.C., I got something.
A lot of great
JC,
memories for that interview you just did with Marv, and I just wanted to let you know that.
Well, I got something for you along the same lines, because you talk about David Steele. And the one thing you learn early on in this business is that there are so many aspiring broadcasters that are going to look up to you at some point. And I want to share this story with you about Marv Albert, because what I used to do in junior high school, I had a little white cassette tape recorder, and I used to record the Knicks and the Ranger games. And then I had, you know, back then you had a digital, you had a counter, right? And so what I would do is I would record the games, and then I would write down on a piece of paper the numbers of where the great calls were or the goals. And I would go into school the next day, and in homeroom, me and my buddies would listen to all of Marv Albert's calls from the night before. But I sent him to WNBC TV, Channel 4 in New York. I sent Marv, when I was 15 years old, a cassette of some play-by-play that I had done. I used to go into high school gyms and sit in a corner with a cassette recorder, and I would announce games. And I sent Marv a handwritten letter and my cassette tape, and I'll never forget walking home from school one day, and my mom goes, "You've got a package for Marv Albert." And I was like, wow. And I still have the letter. But on the outside, it had the WNBC Peacock logo of Channel 4, and on stationery. And Marv was a sports anchor at Channel 4 in New York. And the letter that he sent me my response on was the letters were larger, because that's what they used off the teleprompter back then. And to this day, I still have the letter from Marv Albert, and he said, "Hey, Grant, I just want to let you know, thank you very much for sending me your tape and your nice words. I listened to your tape, and he said, one thing that you really need to work on, and it's very important to do play-by-play, is to develop different nuances." And then at the end, he said, "But you are," and I'll never forget this, the last line on the letter said, "But you are well on your way to being successful as a broadcaster." And I was a teenager. I was 15, 16 years old at that time. So when I hear you talk about maybe a Dave Steele having an impact on you, I am now 59. I've been doing the NBA for 30 years. I've done the NHL. I've done the NFL. I feel very blessed. When a young person comes up to me and asks for advice, you will always give time for that individual. I love talking to schools. I love talking to aspiring broadcasters to let them know what I think is the right path. And so I love your story, because, you know, when you talk about the impact that Marv had on you, I honestly don't believe that I would be in the business that I am today had it not been growing up in New York on Long Island listening to Marv do Rangers and Knicks games. I don't think I would have been a broadcaster. I think I probably would have been a pilot, because I love traveling and I've always wanted to travel the world. And as a kid, I either wanted to be a pilot or a broadcaster. So I appreciate you chiming in with that, JC. It's good stuff. Seriously, I mean, you know, and I really mean this. You know, I think I said this on this show, I don't know if it was a couple of weeks ago or a couple of years ago. I can't remember. But Chick Hearn is synonymous with Laker basketball. Chick Hearn, as a kid growing up, I didn't know who Chick Hearn was, because we didn't have the internet. You didn't have the access to other broadcasters. When I was growing up in New York, there was Marv Albert, and there was Marv Albert, and there was Marv Albert, and there was Marv Albert. Marv did everything. And when you're growing up in that environment, you don't know about Chick Hearn in Los Angeles. You don't know about Bill King doing the Warriors and the A's and the Raiders, because there's no way of knowing. And when I met Chick Hearn for the first time, I remember it like it was yesterday. It was in the fall of 1988, And it was my first time I had ever set foot at the Forum in Los Angeles as a first-year announcer for the Sacramento Kings on TV. And the press box at the Forum, unlike most facilities now, was upstairs. We would always televise games from the floor, and most of the arenas we still do. But at the Forum, we were up high. And I, by then, obviously had known who Chick Hearn was, but, I mean, I didn't grow up with Chick Hearn, but, you know, I mean, at that point, you know who Chick Hearn is. I was, what, 27 years old? And I'm getting ready to do a Kings game. It's 60 minutes before the game. And Chick Hearn walks over to me, and he says, "Hey, how are you?" He goes, "Chick Hearn." I said, "Hey, Chick, how are you? I'm Grant Napier. I'm the new TV announcer for Sacramento." And Chick looks at me, and he says, "Hey, it's so great to have you here in Los Angeles, and congratulations on the job." He said, "If you need anything at all, do not hesitate to ask me or anyone else." He says, "If you need anything, do not hesitate to ask." And I said, "Thank you. I really appreciate that." And he turned and he walked away. And I stood there and I go, wow, like that's a wow moment. Like that is just like, wow, that's a legend that wants to put his arms around a young broadcaster and make that person feel comfortable. And then I'll never forget Chick when he came into Sacramento for the first time. And after the telecast, all the Laker fans would stand behind the broadcast position where Chick and Stu would do the games. And Chick took the time for every single fan of the Lakers, signed everyone's autograph, and, you know, had a smile on his face. And I'll never forget that. I was like, this is Chick Hearn making time for the fans. And I will say that the majority of local broadcasters that I know will do the same thing. Because when you are a TV or radio announcer for a team over a period of time, you become identifiable with that team. I mean, you know, listen, I'm not necessarily talking about myself, but I've been doing the Sacramento Kings for 30 years. By the way, if you're keeping score at home, I think I lead the league in losses, but that's for another topic altogether. I have the greatest job in the world. I get to announce NBA basketball every night. But the fans and your connection with the fans, that is something that is number one and will always be number one. And if you are in this profession and you don't have time for the fans, then you should choose another profession. And I will never forget, as a kid, the impact that Marv Albert had on me and the impact that Chick Hearn had on me as a young broadcaster about this is the way it's done. And I am blessed that I had those two individuals that, and you know, I used to have Chick on my radio show all the time. And Chick didn't have to say this, but this is, you know, you talk about class. Like when I think of Chick Hearn and the Lakers, I think about Chick, and his last name should have been Class. Should have been Chick Class, because he was all about class. Like you'd have Chick come on your radio show, and, you know, I'd always interview him before the game, mostly when he was in Sacramento. We would sit there because our broadcast position was right next to the bench and be an hour and a half. He'd always get there early. And he would always do 10 minutes with me on my radio show. And he would always end the interview with, "Grant, thank you very much for having me. I hope Sacramento," or he would say something like, "I hope Sacramento is aware of how lucky they are to have you as their announcer." And I'm like, that's Chick Hearn doesn't need to say that. You know, but he would say that wherever he went. If Chick Hearn was in Chicago or if he was, you know, in Portland, he would say the same thing to their announcers. Because that was what Chick Hearn was all about. He was about class. And so, you know, again, you know what? We are all sports fans that get into this business, right? I mean, we're not in this business because, well, gee, we want to be on TV. No, we're not in the. We didn't get into this business because, well, we wanted to be on TV. We got into this business because we love sports. Like, I grew up in stadiums. I grew up at Madison Square Garden. I grew up at Yankee Stadium. I grew up at Shea Stadium. I grew up, you know, I went to college games all the time. We had season tickets for the Jets and the Giants as a kid. I grew up listening to Marv Albert. You grew up listening to Marty Glickman. You grew up listening to Mel Allen. You know, Mel Allen, you know, again, another legendary figure. You know, you talk about, you know, guys that had impact. 1977, I'm sitting in the New York Yankee dugout 2.5 hours before the game in Cleveland. And it was my first time ever covering a major league game. And out from the clubhouse comes Mel Allen. And Mel sits about 10 feet from me. And there's nobody in the dugout. And he said, "Hey, how are you?" I said, "Hi, I'm Grant Napier. I go to college at Bowling Green and I'm just here covering the game." Mel Allen talked to me for 30 minutes that day. He talked to me for 30 minutes. Mr. Baseball having a conversation with me for 30 minutes about life, about college, about growing up in New York, about being a Yankee fan, about his upbringing and about what Red Barber meant to him. And we went on and on, 30 minutes. And, you know, it's conversations like this that you never forget. Heath says, "I'm loving listening to you on the Jim Rome Show. I'm also a BGSU grad living in Orlando doing high school sports for ESPN 580. Roll along." Another one, "Very cool listening to your story about the one and only." Thanks, J.E. Third hour coming up. Your phone calls, 800-636-8686, right here on CBS Sports Radio.